everyone, it's noise cancelling podcast is here. Noise cancelling podcast today. Everybody listen, we talk about tech. Hello everyone, I am Gareth Beavis, global editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. I'm telling you all about technology with three other people. Who are they, you want to know? Let's find out.
I am Shreel Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm James Peckham, I'm phones editor for Tech Radar.
Hey, I'm Mike Andronico, editor-in-chief of Tom's Guide, and I may disappear at some point during this call because my Xbox Series X is slated to arrive.
Yay! Nope, not accepting it. Nope, you can't go. I am Gareth Beavis, as I said, global editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. I inexplicably told you that at the start. Well, I don't normally do that. What an exciting time. How is everybody?
Sleepy.
Yeah, we're definitely in the thick of things now. Consoles, Apple products, Black Friday, all of our favorite things.
I'm gonna go right behind the curtain here. Cherie normally has a whole host of exciting boxes behind her head, but for some reason they've all gone away. Where are they all gone?
Oh no, they're there. Like I'm just sitting in a different position on the couch.
Okay. Usually Cherie has like a selection of headphones or just some gold.
Yeah, I'm just on a different section of the couch. Like I'm trying, like they start migrating wherever I sit. So this is the last bastion of the couch that it's bad. What? It's bad.
Michael, good to have you on the call. Lovely to see you. I keep saying cool. It's a podcast. You can't see it's a call. We have to obviously do a socially distance, but we'd have to do it anyway because they're in America and I'm in England. So is James Peckham.
Yeah, a whole lot of logistics. Yeah, it's good to be back. It's been a little while. Good to see you guys again.
So I'm going to try and spot what's in the background of your shot right now. We've got an Oculus over there. That's exciting.
Yep. Got my, all my knickknacks behind me, my Oculus Quest 2. I've got about probably 30 different headsets and controllers and microphones.
Is that a GameCube?
That is a GameCube, yeah. I am ready for next gen.
I never even had a GameCube. I don't know how I recognize that so far away. It's like miles away as well.
There's a pretty great meme making the rounds, just to make it topical, where someone stood a GameCube on top of a Series X and it like lines up perfectly. Like they have kind of the same the same dimensions, just the Series X is way taller. So I highly recommend checking that out.
That feels lovely. I can feel how satisfying that is that I haven't even seen that.
Yeah. Great. So if you have a Series X, it also makes a great GameCube stand. There you go.
Oh, this is a complete tangential. A long, long time ago, I was in a club, Indie Clubs, and I saw a girl walk past, but never saw her face, just the back of her head. And for some reason, maybe I was tired. Who knows why? I was like, that's definitely Mike's girlfriend from my hometown. I went up to her and tapped on the shoulder. I was like, hey, it's girl. And it turned around, and it was her. I still to this day haven't worked out how I managed to work this out because it like the odds were like facts say that should not have been her because not the same town. We lived in a different place. I didn't see the front of her head, but some part I was like, it's definitely her and was right. And I still haven't figured that out since. We had a nice chat. She went away.
That's some good intuition. You can spot a GameCube across the globe. You could spot your ex from across the mall. It's great.
Yeah, we're not married or anything.
Was she a future girlfriend as well?
No, exactly. We basically had a quick chat and she carried on her way. It was nice.
All right.
Love it.
I just remembered it when I looked at the GameCube. I was like, what? How can you do that?
Gareth Beavis, the back of the head whisperer.
That's weird. Like,
well, you just told us this weird-ass story. Yeah, I'm going to make it weird.
You're making it like I'm whispering at the back of girls' heads.
Hey, girl. You got a nice shithead.
Moving on before this takes a life of its own. Pexy, what's in that big box on top of your wardrobe?
That is a big bunch of clothes. There's nothing exciting in there at all.
Great, okay. No GameCubes in there as far as I can see. No. I've got nothing behind me. It's just a wardrobe. Got this coaster. There you are, you can have that. My sister made that, so not available to buy. She's very talented, but she doesn't have an Etsy right now. So there you go. Anyway, let's talk about the big question. Things that happened this week are many and plentiful. Michael already alluded to one of them, which was the Apple launch. Both James Peckham and I have been hard at work reviewing phones of different sizes from Apple. But the big question is, with the iPhone 12 mini out and about now, which piece of tech do you want to shrink and why? Let's start with everyone's favorite, Cherie.
Well, I'm gonna wing it because I did not take the time to think about this question. So,
stop. Just pretend that you do once in a while.
No. it, so in the strength of being mobile, in the strength of flexing on friends, I would like to be able to shrink both consoles and shrink my one of my OLEDs.
Oh.
And like, okay, it's game time. No, no, we will not play on your 1080p TV. We will play in 4K OLED HDR 120 hertz. We will play this way. And just like hit a button, it'll just... It will like, it, yeah, what that's what I would like to do. Huh?
What noise will it make? Cool, thank you. Yes. Just wanted to confirm.
Yes.
Love it.
How small are you making this?
Huh?
Like, when you say you're shrinking it down, how small?
You know what? Small enough that I could... that I could fit it in a book bag. Like it would have a button and it would contract into itself and or I would roll it up like one of those LG rollable TVs. And then with the Xbox and the PlayStation, I would like them to be about the size of a GameCube, and they would even have the little handle on it, so I could just toss them in a bag and be like, when it's time to flex, be like, ha ha!
So you want something that scales up and down for portability, not just something you wish was smaller in general?
Yeah, no, yeah, because I'm a size queen, so bigger is always better.
So basically, we should get you the Xbox Series S and a rollable TV, and you'll be happy.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
There you go.
Yeah, solved. Michael, what about you?
Yeah, mine is along similar lines to Sheree. I specifically would love to shrink both the PS5 and the DualSense controller. Those things are both obnoxiously big. I love the PS5. It's great. I've been using it for weeks. You can read my review on Tom's Guide, tomsguide.com. Check it out.
People into now can't work out how to Google Tom's Guide.
Yeah, and just in case people don't know, you know. Yeah.
Is the apostrophe in the URL? I can't find it out.
Exactly. I mean, this has been talked about to death. Obviously the PS5 is gigantic. I don't completely love the design. Luckily, I was able to just barely wedge it into my entertainment center, so it's starting to kind of like blend into my living room as best it can. I think standing up, it looks obnoxious. It looks like a giant router, giant modem. I think the eventual PS4, PS5 Slim is going to look amazing once they figure that out in a few years. Because I do like the design language. I do like the colors, the two-tone thing. If they could somehow even just get it to the height of the Series X, which it looks small by comparison, that would be awesome. But my bigger issue is actually with the DualSense. It's such an amazing controller. The haptics, the triggers, it literally feels like something new and next-gen and like nothing we've experienced before in gaming. But I do find it to be a little too big for me personally. I do love a hefty controller. I love the Xbox Elite controller. I love that there is a bit of added weight coming from the DualShock 4, but just I've noticed while playing certain games, we'll talk more about games later, but like playing games like Godfall and Devil May Cry that are very action heavy and require a lot of dexterity, like I felt my hands getting fatigued and cramping up a bit. So I specifically would love a more compact DualSense. If there was an eventual PS5 Slim, I think it'll be great. So
Sheree is judging you right now for having...
Well, no, because I have freakishly long piano fingers. And,
TM, as we mentioned.
But I don't think I've met a controller that I didn't like. Like,
even the Duke?
Even the Duke, because my fingers, remember how long my fingers are, Mike. I know we haven't seen each other in a while. So my fingers were shit, like, they're long enough that it was, like, it was fine for me. But I could also do the GameCube with its itty bitty controller. Like I've never had a problem where it was like, oh God, this is uncomfortable.
Anyone that grew up using a NES controller, there's no controller that's a problem ever again. Like,
yeah.
Shove the sharp edges into your hands for 6 hours at a time. I'm like, anything that's got any kind of rounded edges now, I'm just like, thank you very much. I appreciate your efforts.
Well, not even the sharp edges. It's the game thumb that I used to get. Like, I kind of miss that callus, that thick, thick, ridiculous callus that I had from the ages of 6 to, like, 12.
Yeah, the beauty of that, yeah. Pexy, what about you? What would you shrink down?
Yeah.
These
answers seem sensible compared to mine. I want to shrink Netflix. There's too much on Netflix. I want to be able to watch it all. I want to shrink it, and I want to get it to a point where it's just the top end stuff, and then I can actually sit back and go, I've completed it. Lockdown 2 allowed me to complete Netflix. There we go. Bish, bash, bosh. Put something else on there on Friday, and then I'll watch that as well.
I like it.
That's a great answer. Yeah, just shrink. Yeah, yeah, there's just too much content, period.
Yep.
I know it's pretty useful. I mean, I still think about this. I know there's someone who would instantly tell us how it works, but the, you know, like, I'm looking at Amazon, who invested a lot of money in the new Borat film, for instance, and you think, for most people, that's just going to keep them watching the Prime subscription they already have. So there's no, you don't make any money from that. You kind of, you get people in for the cost, then you've got to keep sustaining them. It sort of feels like it makes, it's like, you know, everything you do after the big groundswell of subscriptions is game over. I'm sure it entices people to subscribe. I'm sure it maintains churn or some boring thing like that. But I just sort of feel like Amazon and Netflix started this thing up. They're like, oh, I've got so much money. They're like, oh, they want loads of new stuff and we can't charge them anymore. Oh, we're screwed. Oh no.
Similar to Disney as well, isn't it? Like, Disney don't really have any shows at the moment. A second series of The Mandalorian has arrived before anything else really that original has actually arrived as well.
Yeah, lots of fun. I like your idea, Fexy. It's pleasing. I like the idea of completion.
It's a little bit selfish, isn't it, that I've just like cut off everything I don't want to watch from Netflix, but in this dream world, then I want it.
I feel like there's surely some way that the algorithm could say you will only like these things, or you could somehow, say, I want the top X amount of stuff, and you pay a certain amount of money to have only X amount that's relevant to you, and you, that tier will get you to the end of something, and you can go, right, I'm going to spend $4.99 a month for only James's picks, and it's going to be 100 things, and then you can just get through that 100, you know, and they'll cap it at the top, and then they'll keep adding to it as time goes by. But
it's just Peep Show, and you can just rewatch Peep Show.
Just buy that. There you are. I've sold it. Just buy the box set. I had two answers. My first answer was going to be heavily satirical. I was going to be the iPhone 12 Pro Max in a mini version, because there's so many good things on there that we want to see, but the mini's just shit in terms of battery life, and that's annoying, which is no fun. But my boring answer, my more regular boring answer, is just VR. Like, come on. Let's get that shrunk down. Ready Player One. I know, every year that goes past, from like 2013, I think it was, when I tried the Vive, and they promised me the future was coming. I'm like, every year that goes past, like, where's the future? Come on, where is it? I want Ready Player One style, just some glasses that pop on, and, you know, they fit around your eyes so they block out the rest of the world, and off you go. It's just like, why is that not here yet? Why? Where is it? I want it now.
I feel like we've come somewhat close with the Quest 2.
Yes, somewhat. That's not enough. I want a pair of sunglasses.
Might have to wait for Apple Glass for that. We'll see.
Why not? Aww. My cat has just done the smelliest poo.
love it.
All right.
And it, the litter tray is in another room. Like, the door's open between us in that room, but it is just, well, she's come over and she started rubbing all over me. I think she's like saying, guess what I've done? No, I mean, she's clean. Like, I mean, I haven't tested, but I'm pretty sure there's nothing like lingering on her. But I think she's coming over to just be proud of what she's just achieved.
It's the joys of working from home. Just getting these very real moments.
Smell it right now, over here. So yeah, everyone else can enjoy that behind the curtain smell-o-vision. I had a third thing, but I completely forgot what it was. So move on. Do you not think with the PS5, the design of it, it's got all the hallmarks of, if you haven't seen it, by the way, it's basically, I don't know, like a spaceship combined with something else.
People in New York compare it to the Barclays Center, which is pretty spot on.
A binder combined with an international space station.
Yeah.
And roughly the same size. But it seems like it's like somebody really high up decided they wanted to design it, and the people that would normally design it couldn't overrule them. They're like, yep, it's going to look like this. It's going to do a swirly bit here and a big scoop here. And they're like, should we say, yep, all right, fine. Shit, okay. How big is it? Like, twice that size. Okay.
There were reports going around too that it could have been even larger. Based on the initial concept, so I guess we should feel lucky.
I'm fine with it. It's fine.
When it boils down to it, does size really matter in terms of console size? Like, as long as it can fit under my TV, I'm happy with it. Really,
like, yeah, it can't fit under some though. It can't, like Vic Hood, our reviewer. Yeah, she's noted as having a Kallax, which I found out is apparently a buzzword for furniture. Not really, but it wouldn't fit in that, so that's out.
Okay, so yeah, I'm talking from a privileged position that it probably will fit in. Well, I have already measured it before I pre-ordered. But for me, it's just like, it's big. Yeah, that's fine. I've dealt with it now. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, I like big. It's good. Right, Pex, you win the points because that was an excellent answer. Hey. All of ours were just stupid. Right, got a lot to get through today, and we're already whipping through the podcast with our nonsense at the start. So, lots of Apple things to talk about. I'm going to go with the Apple event last night. Cherie, it had laptops in it, and you're the editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag and an all-round thoroughly great human. What are your thoughts?
Apple's making a lot of lofty-ass claims, and I cannot wait to put them to the test. Two times faster than... Two times faster than 98% of Windows PCs on the market?
Yep.
Two times faster than certain processors. Didn't say which processors. They're just 2 to 3 times faster. Same thing for graphics cards. 17 hours of battery life. Lots of lofty claims that I cannot wait to get either the Air or the Pro into our labs to put this to the test, because that's wild.
So just to contextualize this a bit for those that weren't paying attention last night, which is a lot of people, because it was about, you know, chipsets and stuff, I'd imagine. So Apple's brought out the new M1 chipset. This is its own silicon. So it's designed the chip instead, where it's moving away from Intel, which powers most laptops, fewer than they used to these days, but still one of the dominant chip maker for your laptop. So the engine behind that is now no longer in the new MacBooks from Apple. Making its own silicon has worked really well for Apple in its iPhones, etc. It now easily makes the most powerful smartphones in the world, you know, according to the benchmarks. You know, you could argue whether it's necessary or not, because all smartphones are super, super powerful now. But in terms of benchmarking, Apple is always right there at the top. Wish they could make the batteries last longer, separate thing. And so it's basically brought that same thinking to the laptop market now. So it's MacBook Pro, MacBook Air, as Sheree has already alluded to, will have the M1 chip inside, and that will launch things like 20-hour battery life, you know, the most powerful blah, blah, blahs, neuro-linguistic engines or something, you know, neural engines, sorry, and just more powerful all through the range. And Sheree, do you think this is going to have a big effect on Apple's market share? Because it's still miles behind, you know, many PC makers.
It's really going to depend on what reviewers are going to be saying, what we're going to be finding out when we start benchmarking. The price did not go down, because that was something that a lot of analysts were saying, that hey, we're gonna, like with the ARM chips, because they're ARM chips. I don't care what they like, it's Apple Silicon, it's ARM. a lot of people were speculating that the price was going to go down. That did not happen. So the Air is coming in at $999, $899 if you are an educator or student, and that's for the Air, and $1,299 for the Pro, and I guess $1,199 for educators. So no price drop. A lot of big claims, nothing substantiated yet. We will be substantiating some of it very soon, because Apple will be sending both systems to Laptop Mag. So stay tuned for those reviews and all the subsequent breakdowns.
I assume Tech Radar as well. I don't know if we are or not. I should probably know these things, but stay tuned, Tech Radar, probably.
Yay. Tom's guide to you.
Is that Tom's hyphen guide or?
We've been experimenting with some different styles.
What's your take on the Apple event last night, Michael?
Yeah, one of my biggest takeaways, and this has, I think, been a trend, is that I feel like the gap is closing between kind of the Air and the Pro products. I think it started with the iPad Air last month, where like the iPad Air 4 has so many iPad Pro features, from just the overall design to better performance. And we're kind of seeing that with the new MacBook Air. They were touting how big of a leap it was from the previous model, how it compares to the MacBook Pro, and how it compares to Windows competition. So our Mark Spoonhour, who we all know and love, our editorial director, he wrote a piece just kind of saying that the new MacBook Air kind of makes the Pro look a bit irrelevant, because it seems like power users can actually use the Air as their primary machine at this point, you know, depending on what you're doing. But it looks like it's becoming more viable for, you know, photo editors and even developers and some light gaming. So I thought that was very interesting and exciting, that kind of just the MacBook Air is becoming more of a power user machine for the people that need it. And it really makes me wonder what's going to happen to the MacBook family down the line. Are we always going to need Air and Pro? Is there eventually just going to be, you know, one MacBook to rule them all? So that was my big takeaway.
Bexy, we wrote something similar about the Air and the iPad Pro, didn't we?
Yeah. I reviewed the iPad Air 4 for TechRadar, and I entirely agree on that. Like, it's a product that pretty much anyone can get away with. Like, there's probably the odd person out there that really wants to be audio editing or video editing or something like that on an iPad who probably doesn't just about need the Pro, but most people can definitely get away with the full with just the normal iPad Air 4 now, and it's I think £200 cheaper, maybe even a bit more, and that's a remarkable amount of money for that.
I think I always, you know, Apple goes at great lengths to explain the difference between the pro user and the natural user. And I do see it, you know, so people where creative industry, that is their lifeblood. You need as much power as you can possibly throw at it. And when you hear about that and you look at it, you think, well, yeah, of course, actually, there's going to be a huge market for this. And then you start talking to people and, you know, especially in the creative industry, many are self-employed. There's this, you know, it's about what fits lifestyles as much as anything else. So then you get the MacBook Air and you're like, well, actually, while this kind of super set of people who, you know, their boss will buy them whatever the most powerful machine is, it's not that many people. You know, the same way, there aren't that many that many companies who would spend $400 on wheels for the new, you know, Mac. That's a natural thing. But, you know, there is someone that will buy it and that is relevant and helpful. They'll pay whatever. But it's not as big as maybe people would think. So it's an interesting one. And I think, especially with, not to labor the point too much, but with the new silicon from Apple or ARM, as Cherie said, although Qualcomm makes its own chip, so that's all ARM based as well. Come on, you know, it's all reference designs. But the new MacBooks themselves, no one's really talked about the fact they're now much closer to the iPad or to the iPhone. So I think I'm right in saying that, you know, you'll be able to run, in theory, apps on the new M1 silicon that opens ideas for, you know, for LTE connectivity, so, you know, wireless data connectivity for laptops as well from Apple. And it really starts to narrow that gap between macOS and iOS even further now. They're all based on the same architecture. So that's interesting. I want to see what happens with that, because Apple's always been really clear in saying these are two very distinct products, but it's been said about lots of things and they're all just getting a bit closer and closer and closer.
Developers will need to do work to make sure those apps are working properly. For example, if you think about Instagram on an iPad, isn't going to be great. It's probably not going to work well on a Mac either. But yeah, that does seem to be something that they're going to really push ahead with and try and get the big developers at least on board with.
And in terms of talking about things getting closer together, we got the new iPhones this week.
What a segue!
So the iPhone 12 Pro Max is 6.7 inches, and the iPad Mini 7 inches, just in terms of screen size. So, you know, when you first hear that, you think there's not much difference, but the iPhones are much longer and thinner. So that 6.7 inches, a little bit of a misnomer compared to like the much wider, more usable screen of the iPad for titting about on a sofa over the evening, wondering what you're doing with your life. So, Pexy, you reviewed the iPhone 12 mini.
I did. Yeah. It's cute. It's small. It's really nice. It's just nice having a small phone that doesn't... there are small phones available on the market right now. Most of them aren't going to have the same grunt or just have flagship features that that the iPhone 12 mini does offer. Obviously, it's missing a few of those tiny upgrades that the Pro Max is offering. So the LiDAR sensor on the camera... and obviously the bigger battery as well, but just everything about the iPhone 12 mini feels premium. It feels sort of similar. Maybe this is not the best thing to compare it to, but when they were doing the compact line with the Sony Xperia handsets, where you were just getting top-end features, you were getting the top-end chipset, you weren't losing out on anything, even though it was a smaller size. And I think this is just the iPhone to be looking for if you're upgrading from, say, an iPhone 8, that sort of era of iPhone. If you're looking for something that's around the same sort of size and you don't really want to jump up to the Pro Max, then look at the mini.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that is, you know, I didn't review it, but one of the things that emanated around from other reviews and yours was that battery life is a real issue. Yes. Beyond that, it's amazing.
Yeah, I don't think it's an absolute don't buy this issue. It's again, iPhones are not always the best for battery life. So if you're used to iPhone battery life generally, you're probably going to be okay with that. It's not as strong as the iPhone 12 or the iPhone 12 Pro because it is a smaller phone and it features a smaller battery. But again, if you're fine with that and you're not as a power user that's going to be using it all times a day, or you're away from a charger, then yeah, still look at the iPhone 12 mini.
There is a subset of people that I worry for, and those are the people that have been getting into the smartphone world for a while. Maybe, you know, they've eschewed technology for some reason and they think, you know what, I'll get like a cheapy Huawei or, you know, something that's like a lower end phone that doesn't cost as much. Like maybe in America, you bought one of the smaller Motorolas and you think, you know what, that looks lovely. I'm gonna jump to the new iPhone now, and I'm gonna get the iPhone 12. They might struggle with this battery life. I feel like, you know, you're right. The people who have had iPhones for a while, they probably won't notice that much of a difference. But yeah. Android users are used to a much longer battery, and I think anyone that joins the iPhone family with this model might be a bit like, oh my god, this is low compared to what I expected. And what, Michael, you didn't review it yourself, did you? But you've been close to this.
Yes, yeah, I've been very close to this. So we've reviewed the Pro Max and the Mini. Yeah, I mean, the Mini, you know, Adam, who just left us for Jalopnik, he reviewed the Mini as his parting gift to us, and he absolutely loved it, just for what you get for the size and the
price.
Do you
trust him, though? Like, he was leaving. Do you trust what he's saying?
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. With my life.
We've had him on the podcast. It's fine. We could he's alumni, so
he did give it one star.
Birch's opinion. Yeah.
yeah, so no, I think, you know, we had similar takeaways, obviously. Yeah, we definitely also wish iPhones, the latest iPhones had better battery life, and that's always kind of the one snag. But yeah, I mean, we did, you know, we went as far as giving the Pro Max 5 stars.
Mark considers that
the best phone you could buy right now, period. So there is Mark, that, and we did actually.
Mark
we did
gave
actually,
it 5 stars.
What's that?
Mark gave it 5 stars.
5 stars.
Wow, Pro Max, that's big.
The best phone you can buy, according to Tom's Guide. But we actually had pretty decent. Obviously, I mean, I know we're talking about two different phones, but yeah, the Max actually obviously has the best battery life of the bunch, and we got some. We actually got some decent endurance out of that. I want to say close to 11 hours, which is pretty good. That's about 2 hours better than we got from the regular Pro. So,
yeah.
So yeah, we're pretty high on both phones. Obviously, it'd be nice if the Mini lasted longer, but I'm really glad that the Mini exists, because I feel like that's the iPhone people have wanted for a while, just a small iPhone. And also glad that the Pro Max is out there for the you know, for the power users. I've been in the middle. I actually just bought a 12 Pro for myself, and I'm absolutely loving it. Mostly because I'm coming from an 8 Plus, so that's a pretty big leap. Yeah. Just been enjoying, you know, all the modern conveniences. The camera is obviously incredible, and just the speed. So, yeah, I think overall, I think the iPhone 12 lineup is definitely one of Apple's strongest in a while, and it's kind of nice that there's something for everybody.
I reviewed the iPhone 12, 12 Pro, and those two together was a challenge, because especially for the 12 Pro, because I was like, what is the point in this phone? Like, it's really hard to know, because the iPhone 12's got all the sort of the power, the screen, the, you know, the same rough battery life. It, you know, it turned out in benchmarking it was equally as powerful, which is still a slightly confusing because it didn't have as much RAM. But so when the 12 Pro Max was going to come and land, I was like, I can't wait. It's going to have better camera. The battery life's going to be better. This is going to be the true upgrade. And what I found was that the camera on the 12 Pro Max wasn't that much of a jump from the Pro, which was surprising, because it's got a 47% larger sensor. Apple's been going on and on about that. So the low light, I thought low light was going to be amazing. It was good. It's great, but it's not. It wasn't like light years ahead. And it shows that the kind of the computational photography that Apple keeps talking about, the idea of this, after you've taken the snap, it will work some clever magic on it, is really powerful. Like, you can see it happening after the photo is taken. It prepares, it uses deep fusion, and then it enhances it naturally for you. And you can see that that actually minimizes the gap quite a lot. So the only thing that I've really want the Pro Max for, I mean, it's only $100, £100 more. I say only, but you know, for what you're getting in terms of battery life and bigger screen, and the camera is better, just to be clear. It is the best on the iPhone range, period. But it's not that much better than I expected. It's worth it for the extra money, as long as you can handle the heft. But I tell you what I find really difficult about reviewing phones at the moment is, in lockdown world, we're not going out as much. And we're not moving around. We're not going in and out of cellular signal. We're not using the phone to like watch movies on the commute. We're not streaming music as much as we were. You know, like various different things that we're not doing. And so it makes reviewing them really difficult, because like I'm looking at now, I've got the iPhone Pro Max. It's 3:40 in our recording right now. Took it off charge at 6:10 this morning. It's got 82% battery. And I haven't not used it. I phoned my mum for about 45 minutes on it. You know, it's not like I haven't used it at all. It's just, you know, in this world where we've got Wi-Fi signal, we're steady, the phone's down on a desk, it's doing, you know, it's a very different world. So it's almost like, yeah, you can, if you imagine we're going to be locked down for 2 more years, get the Mini, because it's going to be fine. but you're basically betting on sadness there. So let's not.
if we're going to be in lockdown for that amount of time, do any of us need phones?
Do any of us need friends?
I said phones, but yeah, also friends.
Both valid questions.
Yeah, you just got Netflix. You got you could probably complete Netflix in that time.
There you go.
There's not enough time to do anything new, is there? Right. We are so running out of time. So I'm going to go quickly through the last things we want to talk about. So I'm going to ask you all, the new consoles are out now. You can choose one of your favorite games. Sheree, what's your favorite?
Right now, Spider-Man Miles Morales. I am going to jump into Bugsnacks. Just got a call for Demon's Souls. Looking forward to that. And on...
Why can't you answer the question? What's your favorite game? One game. And you're just giving me three straight away.
It's not in my nature to just choose one. I'm greedy.
That is true. Yeah. why is Miles Morales good?
It really is. Like, I highly recommend it. Some of the story beats are a bit predictable, but still really fun to play. If you liked the original Marvel Spider-Man that came out last year, you're gonna love this. And I really enjoyed it. And my man knows sign language. His shape up is tight. Like, the hair texture is on point.
That's next gen. Yep.
Like, it's truly next gen.
So I was going to ask, like, do you, when you play that, do you feel like, this is good? Like, this is really, like, this feels different. This feels like a new world kind of thing.
It feels like a more refined world right now. Like, I think Horizon Forbidden West and God of War is really going to be those games that everyone's going to be like, oh, this is next gen. But Spider-Man Miles Morales is going to be a good preemptive, like, oh, okay, this is, like, I can see what they're talking about. I can see the ray tracing. I can see the reflections. I get it. But I don't think people are really going to appreciate it until, like, those serious heavy hitters come out.
Michael, what have you been playing? What's been on your game?
Yeah, well, since Miles is also my favorite so far, I really do. You guys might have talked about it last week, but I do want to give a shout out to Astro's Playroom, which is obviously the pre-installed game that comes with the PS5.
I love it so much.
And that's why, like, it blows my mind that you get this game for free, because it's kind of billed as a tech demo for the DualSense, you know, shows off all the things the controller can do, and it does an amazing job at that. But I think it's just a great game and a great 3D platformer, period. I think it has some really cool gameplay ideas. I think the platforming's tight. I think it's colorful. It's beautiful. And it really is like a love letter to all things PlayStation. There are a lot of really cool collectibles and Easter eggs, and you'll find the most obscure characters from video game history hidden throughout these worlds. So I really can't, you know, I really want to give Sony credit for A, just including a pack in with a console. Cause that hasn't happened since like the Wii. I feel like it's nice to just have a game you could play out of the box. And especially since it's a very pricey console. So to have a free game out of the box, and like, I just started playing Sackboy: A New Adventure, which is a paid game. I think it's like a $50, $60 game. And I think Astro is better. So I really, really want to give Sony credit for that one and for including it for free. I think it's a great way to get started on PS5.
Yeah, I think we talked about this last week again, but the thing I'm most excited about for the PS5 is this haptic feedback on the controller. Like Astro's Playground, they say, everyone that I've spoken to has said, it feels amazing, the way the different textures and stuff. And of all the things I've ever seen a manufacturer do, there's like, you know, iPhones and different manufacturers have created options for developers to use. This is the one that I want people to get on board with. I know Sony's really pushing it, but it's one of the few things that will probably entice me to buy the PS5. I can see myself buying a PS5 at some point just because I get excited, and then never buy a game for it because I've got all the PS4 games that are just there for digital download, plus Astro's Playground. And in 4 years' time, I'm like, I should really buy something for this. But
yeah, well, it'll, at the very least, it'll make all your PS4 games run better. So there's that too.
It's mostly Tony Hawk's. So just that over and over again.
The most important game, in my opinion.
Yeah, completed the first one already. So hashtag brag. Pexy, what are you most excited for?
For my PS5 to arrive in 2 weeks' time.
When you get it, what are you excited to play?
I've got Miles Morales coming during this podcast. I've actually had an email saying that it's on its way, so I'm very happy about that. So yeah, that is probably my number one.
Why are you checking your emails on your podcast?
Sorry. I'm also genuinely, I really want to try out Bugsnacks. I just want to see what it's like. I want to see what that's about. And then otherwise, I'm going to be playing a lot of PS4 games, I think, to be honest. With the game boost elements, there's a few games of the PS Plus collection that I've not touched before. I've never played Last Guardian, for example. Yeah, talking about being on your phones, Gareth, but yeah.
Well, where my running order is, yeah. Yeah, because I'm multi-screening right now. So yeah. So actually, you know what? Because of that, we're going to jump on. You've got 30 seconds to tell us about the OnePlus N 100.
Sure. It's the latest OnePlus Nord phone. So the OnePlus...
25 seconds.
So we fully reviewed it. It's a cheaper version of the...
20 seconds.
OnePlus Nord. This is horrible, Gareth. Go to Tech Radar at the moment. You can read the full review on it 15. From our colleague David Lum, who gave it 4 stars. It's a very affordable OnePlus phone, even cheaper than the OnePlus One.
Five.
And I've got 5 seconds left over, so three, just gonna
two,
do that.
One. Yeah, didn't explain it very well. Well done. Just absolutely unfairly just been like, dare to criticise me? Well, look at this one.
That's not like, what is going on?
Look at the control I have. Talking of which, the Microsoft is killing control, i.e. the control panel. That's the final thing we were going to talk about.
I'll keep this very, very fast. Yeah, obviously Microsoft's always making Windows 10 changes. Very often times those things break Windows 10. People freak out. We all write about it. It's a fun time.
Yay.
But yeah, Microsoft's basically in the process of just moving the various parts of the control panel, you know, into the settings menu. As far as finding your, you know, getting settings for your accessories, devices, whatnot. I don't think this is a huge deal at this point. I'm a Windows 10 user. At this point, you know, I just use the search bar, the Windows search bar, to find what I need and get right to that specific thing. Some people seem upset about it. Windows 10, obviously, kind of always evolving, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. Sometimes updates just break everything. But this one is just kind of, you know, I don't think this is a major issue. I think it's something that people probably get used to over time.
They've annoyed me now because it's like I was getting taken umbrage at the fact that Microsoft's making useful things redundant. But then you talked about just searching things in the control in the search bar, and I'm like, well, yeah, I do that.
Yeah.
So now I feel silly for having outrage at all.
There you go.
So for making me feel silly, I'm going to make you do something now.
Yes.
It's time for the news blast. So regular noise cancelling fans, we haven't got a name for you because it would be weird. Noise cancellers? No.
Noisies.
But how do we spell it? Noyzws?
Sure.
I like it.
I don't know. Thanks. Hey, noisies. It's time for the news blast. As we know, it's the 60 seconds to give as many news stories as you can for the week. It's a perfect way to get all the tech news in your ears without having to do much listening. So you've got 60 seconds to do it. The only rule is that obviously you can't read out from a script. There's two rules, actually. You can't read out from a script, and it has to be explained in some way so you can actually understand what's being said. It can't just be like, LG TV, next thing. Because that would be confusing. So, Mike, I'm going to count you down. You've got to see how many you can get. Just to let you know, the low end is 4, the top end is 13. It's disputed. Let's see how you get on. Right, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so first up, we have a new Star Wars show coming in Disney Plus in the works from the co-creator of Russian Doll. Seems like it's going to be pretty different from Mandalorian and the other things in the works. It's looking like it's going to be kind of an all-female-led show set in a completely different corner of the universe. Sounds really badass. I'm looking forward to it. Next up, Fortnite could be getting a monthly paid subscription plan. This is something that would cost you about $5 to $18 a month. It would get you about 1,000 V-Bucks, a bunch of other in-game goodies. People love Fortnite. People love spending money on Fortnite. I think that'll do well. No PS5 expandable storage at launch, so the PS5 has an expandable SSD slot. You will be able to add your own SSD for more super fast storage that you could run your PS5 games from, but that support is coming at a later date, so don't go out and buy that SSD just yet. Just wait. Deal with what you got. Garmin watches are getting pregnancy tracking, which is a pretty big deal and something that the Apple Watch doesn't have, so if that's of a priority of yours, check that out.
Stop.
Umbrella Academy, are we done?
Yeah, you're done. Yeah.
All right. So 4. Yeah. So I'm about. How do I stack up on the leaderboards there?
I mean, you stack up nicely at the bottom.
Good. Yeah.
Propping it up nicely. It's one of those things. Whenever someone does only 4, I feel really bad because it's like I enjoy listening to it. Like we get far more information, and I'm like, oh, cool. I learned some stuff. Well, thank you very much. So
yeah.
While it may not have been towards the top, it was definitely very informative.
You were so thorough.
I'll take it. Yeah, I'm happy with that as a first attempt.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Well done. Let's just see if there's any other stories that people could want to know about in the list that we have. Of course, Umbrella Academy season 3 is coming. PS5 doesn't have a web browser like the PS4, and Xbox Series X is reportedly smoking. Is it though? Big thing. And PS5s have reportedly died already, but have they? Big questions of the week. Right, talking of big questions, this is, we were done that bit. That was a terrible segue. Cherie, sing us through.
Unpopular opinions, let your hate unfurl. I didn't read the running order, so I don't know what we're hating on. Unpopular opinions.
We've talked about Air, we've talked about Apple, but we're missing one key word, tags. Pexy, where the hell are they?
I don't know.
We need tags to find the tags.
Yeah, I think we need to sit Tim down and ask where these are. We've heard about these for about 2 years now. Consistently, we're hearing about these tile trackers, but from Apple, that will leverage the power of Find My iPhone and allow you to track down your items. So these are things that you can put into your wallet or your purse or your bag, just so you can track down items in that way. Again, we've had three Apple events in the last 3 months, and we've not heard about AirTags at all at any of them. So it's a real shame. I'm personally just disgruntled that we're going to have to wait until 2021 until we're going to get them. I just think it'd be a little one more thing that they add on to another event. Maybe if we have an iPad event near the start of next year, like they quite often do in the springtime, maybe it'd be another little addition there. But there's clearly something a little bit wrong there, that just means that these aren't coming anytime soon. It's sort of an AirPower situation, but obviously we've not actually officially heard anything from Apple yet on AirTags.
I mean, part of this is because certain leakers just keep saying, oh, AirTags are coming, and everyone then starts to think it means it's a real thing. There's definitely some mix between the two. Like, just because people talk about it doesn't mean it's anywhere near fact. But the, you know, the things that we've seen, whether it's sort of allusions to them in code, you know, certain accessories being mooted on the market, you know, these are all sort of very much circumstantial, but you get used to the rumor mill and you start to get a feel for, like, there's something real happening here that's not quite making it out, because there's no, it's consistency between different leakers who would have different sources that tells you that something is definitely there but not quite there. And I don't know what it is that could be stopping this. It seems like an absolute no-brainer from Apple. I've written about it multiple times. You know, the functionality that's baked into Max, into a tile, just seems absolutely brilliant. It's just whether or not Apple really wants to do it, I suppose. You know, what is the benefit of having a wallet that you can find with an iPhone? You know, just because you can do that, what does Apple gain from it other than baking people into the ecosystem for longer, which is obviously quite a useful thing, but maybe Apple just thinks it can do it anyway without the hassle of making these tiny things that might run out of battery. Who knows?
I don't expect they're going to be cheap either. I expect they're going to be some quite high markups that allow for a good price there as well for people to be able to protect their wallet.
Yeah, literally, unliterally as well. Unliterally, that famous word. Cherie, would you mean, I feel like you'd struggle with this because you'd love these because you've got so much stuff to lose, but equally you're not an Apple person, so I was saying you're not an iPhone user. Sorry.
I mean, if they come out, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, but they gotta come out first. Like Pexy said, this is very much an AirPower situation. Where is it coming? Is it coming? Is it here? Is today today? How about now? Now. We're still waiting. We're also still waiting for the studio headphones. So, they're in development hell for all we know. These might be the Apple's Duke Nukem forever. Like, when they finally come, nobody's going to want them.
I think that there's this idea out there that stuff, like if you're a company that could be deploying things, like there's going to be a launch of something, and you know, we've seen that obviously lots of the launches are virtual, so things are supposed to turn up and they're not going to turn up at the last minute, and people get annoyed saying like, there's no way that something could be tipped to launch then just be cancelled at the very last minute. It can't happen that way. It was never going to come. And I've spoken to PRs. It can. Like, literally until someone presses the button, that thing can be pulled. Even though it's going to go into retail, they said people have cancelled things at literally the last minute because it's just not ready. So if you don't hear about something, it could be any number of reasons for it. But the AirTags are getting dull now. I just really want something to actually happen. It would be much nicer.
I mean, to see. If you really need AirTags, just get Tile.
Yeah, my tiles are both run out of battery now. I don't want to spend any more on it. It's annoyed me now.
Like, but
I feel a bit sorry for Tile themselves as well. Like, in terms of they're just waiting for the world's most profitable company to come along and try and steal their exact same idea. Like, that must be a little bit anxiety.
I mean,
on their part too.
Then on top of that, Tile is expanding out its reach. Like, they actually teamed up with HP this year to be featured in the Dragonfly Elite. So yeah. Yeah, so I think Tile's gonna be fine, but I definitely feel what Pex is saying. Like, you really like, oh well, we're just waiting for Apple to just out Apple us and say that they invented it and everybody just jump on the bandwagon.
Was that this year? It was, wasn't it? Like, I mean, I had an interview with Tile about, and they were talking about the HP. I was like, that was last year, Sheree. I was like, no, it wasn't. Time has changed.
This is the longest year ever. Like, 84 years ago was literally a week ago. Like, this is the longest year ever.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, we are running well out of time, talking of which. So, Michael, have you had a good time? How many times have you been on the podcast now? This is your second or third?
I think this is my third, yeah.
I think you're also one of the forgotten podcasts that never got aired. So, you know, you're a real alumni. Have you had a good time?
I am an OG. I had a blast. Always happy to be on Noise Cancelling. Always have a good time talking tech and goofing around with you guys. So thanks for having me.
Thanks. Pexy, how about you?
Yeah, I've had a great time. This is definitely more than my third time, but it's been great. Thanks, Gareth.
No worries. Happy to have you. This is my 32nd time, possibly. I don't know how many we've had. But also, this is another behind-the-curtain moment. I am in a bedroom where the light is fading quickly, and all I've got is the laptop screen's lighting me. It's looking more and more like some sort of weird, stupid Zoom horror film.
That's a good look. I like it, actually.
Yeah, I've also shaved, and it's making all the creases in my face look worse. So,
I'll stop it.
It's an audio podcast. You're fine.
Yeah, I've got a very flexible face, though. It's what, like, weird.
Dude! Dude!
Yeah. That's an audio feature, isn't it? Do the whole way.
Oh, dude, damn. Stop! That's impressive. Oh, I don't like that. Oh,
that is next gen right there.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sheree, have you had a good time up until that point?
Yeah, honestly, I did. That's going to stay with me all day. Oh, no. Stop! Oh my god.
Right, how can people get hold of you, Miss Smith 11?
I'm weirded out. Like, you're like Plastic Man. Like, you're like DC's Plastic Man with that. It's just really messing with me right now. All right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Smith 11. That's MISS Smith 11. And look for all of our reviews on laptops, consoles, tablets, the likes on Laptop Mag. And as always, laptop in the past, laptop now, laptop forever.
I love how much that derailed the whole thing for you.
Yeah, no, that, wow, man. Wow. Like, are you getting enough vitamin D? Like, I'm concerned about your collagen count now. There's a lot of things going. Woo! All right.
I run outside of the time. I got loads of vitamin D. It's everywhere.
Oh my god!
Too much, if anything. Michael, how about you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Mike Andronico, on Instagram at MikeStrikesBack_. The other one was taken. I stream on Twitch sometimes. You can find me there, Twitch.tv/MikeStrikesBack. And read Tom's guide for all your tech needs. We've got a lot of great stuff up right now.
Mike Strikes Back is a great username. Although I've just thought about it, and I would actually like to see an Instagram where Mike strikes bikes. It shouldn't make me laugh so much. Just the idea of Mike Andronico just punching bikes.
That's what I do. Listen, I'm a very violent person. And I got to take it out somewhere. So it is what it is.
All right.
Yeah. Let's get our noisies to make a Mike Strikes Bike Instagram fanboy.
There we go. Someone do it and tag me. Yeah.
Pexy, how about you?
Mine's a lot less exciting. I'm at JamesRWP on Twitter.
Cool. And you can look at TechRadar and see you've written some words.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can also do that. If you go to TechRadar, I'm sure there'll be some phone stuff on it. Go read that and also other tech as well.
I've been Super Beav on Twitter. I still am. In fact, that hasn't changed unless someone's taken it for me. Gareth Beavis at TechRadar. You know, these are all the things that you can do to find out my, well, I say words, not many of them these days, mostly reviews of iPhones as it stands. But thank you very much for listening to this episode of Noise Cancelling. Again, no idea which episode it is, 30-something. I should know that, being the presenter, of course. But I don't, so please listen to us on Apple Podcasts and then subscribe. Listen to us on Spotify Podcast, then subscribe. Anywhere you get this podcast, just subscribe, then leave reviews, do what you want. Have a good time. Let's just go now. Thanks, everybody, for having a lovely podcast with me, and I will speak to you, listeners, next week.
Boop.
Bye. Bye.